Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
All right, welcome to Nigeria Discourse on Spirit of Nigeria Radio, giving you positive Nigerian energy, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. My name is Toye Arulogu, and it's Super Sunday on Spirit of Nigeria Radio as we discuss Nigeria's image and reputation deficit, especially in the diaspora. And to do justice to that, I have two great gentlemen who will be examining and analyzing and appraising 60 years of Nigeria and its image and reputation, not only in the diaspora, also in the country. And first up today, I'll be talking to Mr. Yomi Badejo Kusoya, president of the African Public Relations Association. He is a consummate public relations practitioner, of course, acquired extensive experience in the areas of marketing, advertising, public relations, and crisis communications. He has worked on various accounts for both private and public sector clients, including multinational companies. He was at the forefront of combating the Bellevue airline crisis occasioned by airline crash at Lisa. He has also provided crisis communications intervention strategies for Allied Energy, Mucofoam, and Sweet Sensation when the organizations faced internal crisis between 2004 and 2008. He has handled various corporate communication activities for British American Tobacco Nigeria, Transcor, Renaissance Group, Federal Inland Revenue Service, Peugeot Nigeria Limited, Shell, Virgin Nigeria. He is a fellow of the Nigerian Institute of Public Relations and was a past chairman of NIPR Lagos State Chapter. Currently, he is the president of African Public Relations Association and he is on the board of the International Public Relations Association. All right, we have Mr. Yomi Badejo Okusoya, who I just introduced. Good day, my brother. How are you, sir?
Good day, Toye. Tall and white.
How are you? I'm fine.
That's what I always call you, tall and white.
Oh, tall and white. I still am tall and white. All right, welcome to Spirit of Nigeria Radio. And today we are looking at Nigeria, brand Nigeria's image and reputation deficit in the diaspora. Since the late 1970s, successive Nigerian governments have engaged in nation branding, aimed principally at shedding the country's negative image domestically and internationally. Aside from being the most populous black nation in the world with about 200 million people, Nigeria is also generously endowed with oil, gas, and other natural resources, making it strong in global economic relations. It ranks among the seventh largest oil exporters in the world. However, the hope that Nigeria's enormous human and material capital would translate into considerable influence in international affairs has remained elusive largely because of its negative image. All right, my brother, do you agree to that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, who wouldn't? all the indices point to it. And I'm sure as we go along in the program, we'll be able to share the reasons why. There's no argument about the fact that Nigeria is not where it ought to be. Mm. Earlier on today, I'm going to recommend to you, there's a documentary that has just been released by a guy called Ed Kiazon. You need to watch it. It talks about, it focuses on the Biafran story. And you realize that some of the issues that were then are still the same today. And I think, if I remember very well, that's how it ended. Ed is a lawyer, but he's also a historian. He's a working encyclopedia of the history of just not the Igbos or Eastern Nigeria, of indeed the entire Nigeria. It's somebody you should know. I will send it to you. He said, I got it on WhatsApp, and I will send it to you. So you should watch it, and you realize that at the end of it, he asked something, said, have we learned any lessons? And the answer, of course, is no.
Okay. So, okay, what exactly is the problem with brand Nigeria? Let me say that, okay, this radio station focuses on Nigerians in the diaspora. However, let's start with Nigeria before Nigerians. How do we truly come with a sense of patriotism? Do we believe in our country? Is the country different from the government? Because Nigerians are the country's ambassadors. Do you think that Nigerians truly believe in brand Nigeria?
Well, first and foremost, let's let's distinguish the definition of what a brand is.
Mm.
A brand is a product with a promise.
Mm.
A brand is a product with a promise. I always get this confused. You talk about the intrinsic and extrinsic value of a brand.
Mm.
So let me give you an example where you talk about BMW. Now, what is the essence of a BMW car or automobile? Is to move it from one point to another.
Mm.
All right? But
yes,
in terms of brand definition, BMW tells you that engineered, is that right? No, it says the ultimate driving machine.
That's it.
The ultimate driving machine. So when you sit behind the wheel of a BMW and you punch that button that the car starts and you hear the roar of the engine, and you listen to it purr, what comes to your mind is, I am about to engage the ultimate driving machine.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with Mercedes-Benz. Mercedes-Benz will tell you, engineered like no other car. So, when you get into or you pay extra money for a Mercedes-Benz, you believe that you are buying a piece of machine, or a machine, I beg your pardon, that is engineered like no other in this world.
Mm.
So that's what you're paying for. Beyond the intrinsic value of the car, which is it's going to do what it's supposed to do. So my question, if I want to throw it back to you, Toye, is that what is the promise of Nigeria?
Mm.
What makes it a brand? So let's start from there. You know, so when people say brand Nigeria, what does that mean? Because when you talk about the brand, the brand must have consistency. Let's go to Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola will tell you nothing refreshes like Coca-Cola. Nothing. Not even water. So when you experience the brand, what comes is that promise that has been associated with the brand. That comes with you. In our parents, I don't hear it. I don't hear it at all now. So if you remember, our parents, they say, you see Paris and die.
Yes.
See Paris and die. What does that mean? You are taken in by the awesome sight that in Paris.
Yeah.
Can you remember that?
Yeah, the bliss of visiting Paris. That's it.
Yeah, see Paris and die. That's what they used to tell us. You understand me? And so on and so forth. So the question is that I'm throwing it back to you. What promise does Nigeria hold that qualifies it to be regarded as a brand?
Mm.
Now, that could be negative, that could be positive, because technically true to what a brand also can be a negative, it can be a poor brand, it can be a bad brand.
Mm.
All right? But nobody, you see, the concept of a brand in itself is that it is purposeful, it is deliberate. That's the word I'm looking for.
Mm.
So nobody decide to build a bad brand. So when people say that it's a bad brand, I have my arguments, because yes, it is a brand that has been created, but maybe because of shortcomings, it then went bad. So my question is that what is the deliberate plan concerning Nigeria? What promise does it hold? So you find out that as vast as there are 200 million people in Nigeria, we may have 200 million views about what Nigeria holds for us.
Certainly, I agree. And I think the point where we are right now is creating that distinct image, you know, or personality for the country. I was watching television and I heard some gentleman, you know, posit something that I thought was making sense, especially in the diaspora. Look, what does Nigeria have to offer? Like you said, what's the brand promise? And he was talking about Nigerians having, you know, strong, you know, or Nigeria having a strong human capital base, which is anywhere you go, you'll see Nigerians excelling here and there, professionals and all of, and that in coming up with it, which I think is the missing gap here, which is the point you're trying to make, what is, you know, Nigeria supposed to be selling to the world? What is the promise, you know, of what is the see Paris and die value that Nigeria is
exactly
trying to create, you know, in the world out there? Okay, so, and this poses a challenge for us, you know, as a nation, which is something that, You know, we must do, and I like that word because I have it right in front of me, deliberate and consistent. I think that's the big challenge that we have. Because if you look at the Nigerian nation, quite a number of governments, you know, have recognized the need to redeem this country's image. And quite a number of activities have been, you know, engaged in. Heart of Africa Project, Rebranding Nigeria Campaign, Change Begins With Me. It all seems not to be working.
And it, maybe I would attempt, because the jury is still out on why those things have not worked. But my own, maybe it's like hugging an elephant, so people see it from perspectives. But I'll tell you where it is. It was not marinated. It was not a collective agreement. So let me give you an example. You know, when you're tendering meat.
Yes.
You know, just your chicken or any piece of, you know, protein and all of that. What do? You spice it. You marinate it. You boil it. So what is the essence of the marination? So that it goes deep into whatever it is, whether it's the meat, whether it's the sausage, whether it's a chicken. So when you eat or you bite into any piece, it is the juice. So, for instance, if you eat turkey in the bear form, you realize that it's very bland, very, very bland meat. So what makes turkey so tasty is the fact that there's some marination that has been added to it when you roast turkey. So let me give you another analogy. Where many years ago, just coming out of the apartheid, you know, and the government and everybody excited about South Africa, Mandela had become president, and so on and so forth. And we're at breakfast at a table. And somebody said, to a waiter, is it possible for me to have some sugar? And what did the waiter respond? He said, in South Africa, everything is possible. Yes, you can have some sugar. That's a waiter in a restaurant. If you go to New York, the first thing, and you get into a cab from the airport, the first thing the driver asks you, your first time in New York? Always look at it. Every time. Is that your first time in New York? If you dare say yes, he will sell New York to you from the beginning to the end.
That's correct.
Why? Because it's been marinated. So in South Africa, when they came up with the It's Possible campaign, they spent quite some significant time addressing the internal audience, so that they bought it. Like you announced, I'm president of the African Public Relations Association. I beg your pardon. And every year we have our annual conference in a location in Africa. So last year, this year was supposed to be in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, but unfortunately because of COVID. But last year was in Kigali, Rwanda. And leading up to that conference, I had occasion to travel a number of times to that country. We deliberately put certain things there just to kind of rehearse, and things from my own personal company to familiarize ourselves and all of that. Now, you know the genocide that has gone on, that went on in
Rwanda.
In Rwanda. Yeah. And between the Hutus, Tutsis and Hutis, is that what they're called here? Tutsis and Hutis. And it was so bad. They have a whole museum that tells you from the, it takes you almost 2 or 3 hours to walk the entire museum, and it takes you from the beginning of the genocide, how it happened, to the fact that they have skulls, thousands of skulls, real skulls.
Did you make it through? As an aside, did you make it through? Did it elicit any emotions from you?
Yeah, of course. There's nobody that will go there that will listen to.
Yeah, because somebody was telling me yesterday night that he couldn't finish the journey, and because he just broke down and started crying.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. That demands humanity to man. I mean, their clothes hung up of people who were shot. You know, anything you can think of, shoes, bucket, anything that depicts the kind of trauma and tragedy of that period. They were there. They have machetes the ones that they use. They produce, somebody produced thousands of machetes, hundreds of thousands of machetes that they were using to slaughter. They have them there. The ones that they don't even have in real life, they will show you a documentary, you know, a small clip of what this is about. And you go over maybe about 4 or 5 floors or something, and you go from one place to the other. Now, what do I want to say to you? What am I bringing home there before I lose my trend of my thoughts? If you ask any citizen of that country, and I tried it many times, they said, are you a Hutu or Tutsi? You know what the answer is?
I'm a Rwandan. I can.
You know, I checked with person. I said, okay, I know you're a Rwandan. Before you became a Rwandan, what were you? Were you Tutsi or were you Hutsi, Hutu? They will never tell you.
Mm.
You don't get that by putting adverts on the television.
Mm-mm.
You don't get that by buying spots on the radio station.
Mm.
You don't get that by putting adverts in, buying full pages in newspapers.
Mm.
The people were carried along. It had a from a bottom-up approach, not that from down-up, not from up-down.
Mm.
So everybody believed in what everybody in Rwanda is an Arsenal fan. Well, you know, give or take.
Yeah.
Why? Because their country supports Arsenal.
Mm.
So if that's my own perspective. Other people may tell you how... why it didn't work, but that's my own perspective.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you absolutely. And, you know, I've been a, you know, partaker of some of those things. And I remember some 2-3 years ago at an information, national information summit that had the Minister of Information and Commissioners for Information. And I was then in Oyo State. And they handed over CDs for us to go and play on our local stations. CDs of Champ Begins With Me campaign. And I rejected
it. And nobody asked you for your opinion.
No, right? No, I rejected it openly. I raised up my hand and I said to the minister, sorry, we are not couriers. You didn't carry us along. There's no buying. Who told you that this message is going to work in Oyo State? It was a big fight and opera. The meeting had to end abruptly. But I said, look, where I'm coming from, I'm a trained professional, Honorable Minister. I'm not going to take this. You know, you cannot just give me a CD to go and play on Oyo State to Oyo State people. No consultation. Do you know whether it's TV that is good for me or radio? No buying. They don't even understand it. You don't just throw it, you know, at me. And of course, I don't know whether we are friends to today, even though we've met a number of times. But I agree with you about the marination and all of these things, because the buying of the citizens must be there. And that's why you see, like you gave
it. Ownership of it.
Yes,
they must take ownership of it.
Mm.
So if you ask me, that has been why it has failed.
Mm.
Nobody is taking. Even look at the Nigeria 60 that we have now. Wouldn't it have been nice 3, 4, 5 months ago? Yeah. Even during the lockdown, come on. There were media. Come on. You know what? Guys, give us. Let's throw out a competition for the logo.
Mm.
The best logo for Nigeria 60. We could have, especially when people were at home. When people were home. I mean, when they were home, when they, like, as in that. They were doing nothing. Mm. So it should have provided the kids something to do. And you know what? The one that wins gets A, B, C, D or something like that.
Yeah.
Then we're all interested. You understand? Then maybe you now in these days of reality, you could have even created a reality show out of it. But let's say that the COVID, you know, so but you could have just said, okay, you know what? Turn your designs in to, for heaven's sake, it could have been done through technology. We don't
certainly
need to physically meet.
Certainly. Yeah. I agree with
so
you. And
guess what? Very unimaginative.
Mm. Wow. And to worsen the case, for me personally, when the Mr. President unveiled that logo, I was a bit disappointed. You know, this is not the place where you print something on Flex and you just hold something like a cardboard or frame thing.
Today,
with technology, all you needed to do was just to press a button and for this thing to come. You know, they could have done it in a lot more, you know, better ways. Anyway, all right. I like the way the conversation is going. We have, first of all, at this segment, we are dissecting the problems and addressing the issues, because certainly before we go, we must profess solutions. And I see that we're looking at, look, I think there's some degree of institutional failure from what we've seen here. But just hold it. When I come back after this little piece of musical that asks a very pertinent question for our country, Nigeria. Then we'll continue this conversation. Nigeria Discourse on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. This one is, I'm sure you know it, Which Way Nigeria, from Sonny Okosu.
Nigeria. I have a dream that Nigeria will be truly united one day. I have a dream that Nigeria will have a buoyant, a strong economy. I have a dream that Nigeria will have the political clout that will enable her to lead the rest of Africa and the blacks all over the world. I have a dream that Nigerians will come to regard one another as their brother's keepers. I have a dream that Nigeria will take her proper place in the Committee of Nations.
The Spirit of Nigeria. Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. Okay, it's still Nigeria Discuss Super Sunday on Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and we are looking at Nigeria's image and reputation deficit, not only in the diaspora, but also in Nigeria. And we've been talking with Mr. Yomi Badejo Okusoya, President of the African Public Relations Association. All right, my brother, are you still there?
Yep.
All right, okay, so... So Sonny Okosu's question is still relevant, Which Way Nigeria? And of course, you had Nigeria's former permanent representative to the UN, yes, Maitama Sule, you know, telling us about his dream for Nigeria. And certainly, we are not there yet. So one question and one dream. What do you make of both?
I didn't hear the contribution of Maitama Sule properly.
Okay.
So unless you can paraphrase what it is.
Okay, yeah, he was basically talking about his dream for Nigeria. Okay, I'm sure I can play it again. Let me just play it again because it's very, very important. Okay. Just play it again.
I have a dream not only for the North but for the entire country, Nigeria. I have a dream that Nigeria will be truly united one day. I have a dream that Nigeria will have a buoyant, a strong economy. I have a dream that Nigeria will have the political clout that will enable her to lead the rest of Africa and the blacks all over the world. I have a dream that Nigerians will come to regard one another as their brother's keepers. I have a dream that Nigeria will take her proper place in the Committee of Nations.
The Spirit of Nigeria.
All right. Okay.
You got it. You got it now. Okay.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Diddy King asked. And, you know, I remember him very well in those days in the 70s, 80s, so when we're growing up and all of that. That question is so pertinent today.
Mm.
Which way Nigeria? Because I still believe that we still are not sure which direction we're going in.
Mm.
Let me first deal with that. Because I think that there are some things. Our fault lines are so significant. And they are getting wider by the day. There's suspicion. There's distrust. There's mistrust amongst all of us.
Mm.
The truth of the matter is that there cannot be progress without justice.
Mm.
And when I mean justice, I don't mean justice in the sense of courts. I mean justice in the sense of what I'll call more of an egalitarian society, whereby your country, you have belief in the country because of what the country means to you. I mean, I went to a secondary school that I'm really very passionate about, Igbobi College. And both the national anthem and our college anthem, they evoke the same emotion in me.
Mm.
But when I look at it, what really, in terms of can hold on to, what is my country doing for me? I know JFK said, I should not ask what my country can do for me, what I can do for my country.
Mm.
But what I'm trying to explain is that there's a sense of ownership, and I'm using, going back to that word. Why? Because my country is there to support my aspirations.
Mm.
And where that doesn't happen, we see. Now, we look at all our children. Our children, they want to go abroad and never want to come back.
Hmm.
Some of us who borrowed from our father, we like our village. And if we had enough money, we'd build something in our village and we'd go and live there.
Yes.
But how many of our children want to go into our village now? Hmm. Our villages, I beg your pardon.
Hmm.
No. Why? Because we are not even sure of your security. When I go to my village, not that there's any kidnapping, I'm from a place called Imodi in Ijebu, Ijebu Imodi.
Mm.
But driving through there, sometimes I'm inclined to go with security. Just because I don't want to be a sitting duck. Not because I'm afraid of my people in my own village. No, there's nothing those ones can do. But on the journey there, somebody just sees you and decides, you know, let me take a spot shot. So, there are things that a country must have. There must be justice.
Yeah.
There must be security.
Mm.
All right. There must be equity. In fact, the word I'm looking for, not justice so much, equity.
Okay.
So some people say equity and justice. So when they come together, which means that if somebody does wrong, yes, that person should be punished. If you don't do wrong, why are you suffering? So that's still which way Nigeria. I mean, there are things people are talking about restructuring, reorganization, whatever name you want to give it. Why? Because the current arrangement does not give us the fullness of our expressions of our innate abilities as a people.
Mm.
So whether it's, so somebody says to me that I can't have a high-speed train because cows cross the rail line. Hello. I can't have a high-speed train because cows cross the rail. What kind of thinking is that?
Mm.
What kind of thinking is that? So, now we talked about Maitama Sule. It's still the same thing. Talking about the fact that he wants, these are the things we all want, that kind of thing for our country. We want a country whereby tribalism is not the master of the day.
Mm.
We want a country where things are happening for all of us. That's what we want.
Okay, all right. Let's move quickly now to something that would interest our listeners in the diaspora. We've been talking about Nigeria, you know, and the things that we are not doing well, we are not harnessing properly at home, and what we should be doing so that we can shore up that image and reputation deficit. But let's look at the Nigerian nation. There are a few, you know, there are some silver linings. There are some, you know, like President OBJ says, some islands of integrity that we can at least, you know, leverage on from this moment. It's going to take a while to recover, you know, to get to the point where, from what you're saying, we should be. But right now, in the meantime, what, I mean, we have some assets that we can, you know, use to promote, you know, our country, you know, whether internally or externally. And the other part of it is something tells me that Nigeria's image was at its best during the military. I don't know, but something tells me that in those days, I would never forget General Joe Garba. I don't think we've had a foreign affairs minister that has been, you know, in my own mind, the activities of Nigeria around Africa, apartheid. Yeah, maybe OBJ tried a bit, but then NIA, our foreign policy, I don't know. I mean, we just seem to be static. We are not moving forward in some of those areas that should help us. At the same time, we have, like I said, islands of integrity, like sports, like Nollywood, like our music, like what's happening in the Nigerians in Diaspora Commission these days. Can't we put all of these things together and begin to climb up, you know, the ladder again? How do we put all of these things together? Of reminding, okay, well, remember also that government has a role, professional bodies like yours, you know, do have a role. How do we put all of these things together?
Simple. Revive the National Orientation Agency. Simple. Revive that. Put a technocrat in charge. Don't put a government person. Make it, reconstitute it, made up of people both in the public and private sector. And give them a charge that they should, give them the mandate to lead the charge for the repositioning of Nigeria in terms of brand. So now what do they do? So you have people from public sector, you have people from private sector. In fact, don't let a government person lead it. That person reports directly, if you have, reports directly to the presidency. My own opinion, reports, and that person has the mandate to bring all the, we call them brand touch points when we are talking. You understand me?
Yeah,
but let me use the word leverages. So what happens is that when you are traveling out of the country, the immigration officer who is asking you for a bribe doesn't understand that it's a slur on the nation's image. All he is thinking about is that they are putting him in that position to make money, because the person who probably posted him there is expecting some returns. So he has no clear idea of how damaging what he is doing is to the image of the country, and so on and so forth. You understand?
Yes, I'm with you.
Somebody brings out his whips out his private and is peeing on the roadside. It's even good if he's peeing and he's facing the other side. Some people even face the traffic so that you can see their manhood. I don't know. It's as if there's a competition. Show me your manhood. In some places.
That has gone down now with social media and phones. It has gone down a bit, though.
You know, so I'm just saying that. So we look at all these leverages. The Nigerian Institute of Public Relations many years did something, and I want to say that it was at my behest. At the risk of being immodest, we convened what we call a National Reputation Summit, which what you need to do is that every year you have to put in place, apart from the summit, so bringing different people to the summit and letting them understand that they are a quotient part, is it quotient? Quotient or quotient part. Whereby, if they don't do it right, they will get it wrong. So you, the policeman, that you are doing X, Y, Z on the road, this is what will happen. You, the blah, 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 this is there. Now, then, let us put in place some level of a tracker, a reputation tracker, whereby we monitor maybe on a yearly basis. For instance, one of the things that why people don't believe, there's a trust deficit between the people and the leadership.
Yeah, that's
whether it's at the state level, whether it's at the national level. And I'm not criticizing, I'm not just criticizing, I'm providing solutions.
Yeah,
so if we have a form of tracker and we understand what are the issues, why people are, that deficit exists, what are the things that cause the deficit to exist, can we deal with those things? And when we deal with those things, it's possible that it reduces the trust deficit. Because guess what? No matter how much or how often, how many times you repeat some message, if the source of that message is not credible, then its delivery is fractured. Ab initio. Let me use the word they use. Do you understand? How do I build greater trust in government? How do I want people to realize that I, as government, I have your best interest at heart? And therefore, once we do that trust, we reduce the trust deficit, then we can build on it. We can build there's a change, we need a value reorientation.
That's true. Correct.
Which is why I'm not someone in government, I don't crave to be in government, but honestly, if there was a job that could make me leave my current business or my current job, it would be the DG of the National Orientation Agency.
All right, okay, and I believe you know what, why. If you look at war against indiscipline, it worked. Seatbelt worked in Nigeria. So Nigerians are not, particularly
exactly.
old people, It depends on the way you bring it to them and the way you carry them along, you convince them, the messaging, the content, the medium, if those two can work, because I grew up not with seatbelt or the much later, and of course, war against indiscipline worked very well, maybe because of the military, but then everything is in the psyche of the nation. All right, okay, so let's look at... go ahead.
Sorry, if I may come in. I don't know about now, those who went to UNILAG, attended school in UNILAG and had to go by public transport, they will tell you. Until a couple of years ago, I don't know about now, in Yaba bus stop, they still queue up. Yaba bus stop, they still queue up to get those buses that go to UNILAG. I don't know about now. But I can tell you authoritatively that a few years ago, why? Because it was something they learned from the war against indiscipline. Now, what do you need to do? You need to bring the person into the picture. When you want there to be an attitudinal change, which is what we're dealing with, or we're lacking, you want that person to change. And how do you want that person to change? By bringing that person, let that person see him or herself in the change you so desire. Many of us we're parents, and when we talk to our parents, our children, especially the older ones, you can't be beating them like we were beating or flogged like those days, because things have changed. Now, what do you say? Okay, what you did, you to think about it. Does it make sense? Or does this thing you have done, does it make sense? And you find out that you get more out of them than you going around with a cane or a belt threatening them with violence.
Okay, all right, I feel you. Okay, let's move quickly now to the diaspora. Nigerians are out there shining light, the Nigerian light, flying high the Nigerian flag. How do harness, for example, Anthony Joshua, the Lieutenant Colonel Agubiade, who retired $45 million cash in the U.S. Navy, man of integrity, exemplary commendation by U.S. Army, Nigerian contesting in U.S. Senate. We've spoken to all of them on this station. There are so many of them, out there. Beyond Anthony Joshua meeting the president and prostrating, how do we tap into some of these resources that are good ambassadors of the nation, and we can use them to begin to project a better image for Nigeria?
Thankfully, Terry, you are into communication. So when we talk about the role of the influencer, because that's what those people are. A lot of us, so you get a what do you call it? You get an actor or an actress to endorse something or to be
like
used
a brand ambassador,
condiment or something. They call them more of influencers. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that that person uses that product. or believes in that product. That's our work. So we know many people who do not use what they profess. So somebody says, oh, whiskey is nice, and he doesn't even drink whiskey at all. He prefers brandy, or he even prefers the other brand.
And doesn't use techno, but he doesn't use techno, but, you know.
So you understand what I'm saying. So, you see, one, the fact that the country, somehow or the other, did not contribute significantly to the growth and the development of those people, there's a gap somewhere. So Anthony Joshua came to Nigeria, and he would never have made it in Nigeria. You and I know that. So we are now looking for a cooked good, and we want to leverage it as ours. It's like some of those players that somehow they seem to be a lacuna. Some of the players that play in maybe English Premier League, because they have Nigerian parentage, the Iwobis and all of that, they come. Somehow they're, or the other, they just don't really fit in. Not like a homegrown Okocha. So it just boils down to what I'm saying. Why? Because the person does the values, or does not fully reflect the values that you are supposed to possess. So let me say, for Anthony Joshua, he loves Nigeria. He's passionate about Nigeria. He's, and then there's this Adesanya guy.
Yeah, Israel.
Does he understand it? All these guys literally made it on their own. They made it on their own. The country, quote unquote, did not really help them. So we are at their, we are their mercy. So Anthony Joshua loves Nigeria, so he comes. Ishadi Adu doesn't love Nigeria, so she doesn't come. That's not consistency. So we are asking me, how do we harness them? Yes, the people who are in the other country, they realize that Nigeria has immense human capital, but we do not know how to harness the human capital. So it doesn't give us the kind of pluses that it's supposed to give us. So imagine if a homegrown person becomes a tennis star. It's a totally new ballgame.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, the authentic source of Nigerian information, bringing Nigerians in the diaspora up to speed.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bring it.
Sending money to Nigeria? ZingaPay, is it? ZingaPay is not just a money transfer platform. Sending money to Nigeria through ZingaPay gives you multiple benefits, such as reduced fees for money transfers, Naira mobile wallet for speedy and efficient local Naira transfer and bills payment, plus an AXA Mansard mutual fund investment account with attractive returns. So while sending money to Nigeria, you enjoy additional benefits of savings and investment with our mutual funds investment account in the ZingaPay Cooperative Society program. For more details and to register, log on to www.zingapay.com or send an email to Zing.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
I've said it before that all the professional bodies need to come together under an aegis of all communication. Nigeria, how they call it, you know, the people who are in advertising, the people who are in media, the people, public relations, the people who are in whatever, even events, digital, and create a full pressure point for government. So you find out that, let me give you an example quickly, Nigerian Bar Association or lawyers, you have shipping lawyers, you have constitutional lawyers, you have criminal lawyers, you have them all in various places, but they are first and foremost, what? Lawyers. So they use that body to act as a pressure on government to review policies and to impact change. So we, in our silos, oh, I'm advertising, oh, I am this, and we don't have enough gravitas to be able to bring about the kind of change that we want. Those are the two key significant things I would say that can bring.
All right. Thank you very much. It's leadership, leadership, leadership. Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Yomibade Jokusoya, for being a part of Nigeria Discuss. All right. At the top of the hour, when we come back, we should be talking with Mr. Steve Babaeko, President, Association of Advertising Agencies of Nigeria. And he will be giving us his own perspectives on the deficit of Nigeria's image and reputation, especially in the diaspora. Thank you, Yomi, for being a part of the show.
Thank you.
I'm sure once in a while we'll call you on and we can be talking a lot more about some of this.
I'm a member of Spirit of Nigeria.
Thank you very much. I know that. I know that. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. All right. We do sincerely appreciate. All right. When we come back, the program continues. Nigeria Discuss Super Sunday. And we'll be talking with Mr. Steve Babaeko, the president of the Association of Advertising Agencies of Nigeria. Stay locked on to Spirit of Nigeria Radio, giving you positive Nigerian energy, bringing Nigerians in the diaspora up to speed. We are the authentic source of information to Nigerians, or the source of authentic information to Nigerians in diaspora. Either way you look at it, we radiate, we give positive Nigerian energy.